the pasuk says, "V'yidaba Hashem Moshe leimo." Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Dabo b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, saying, Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zocha." When a woman becomes, literally, when she becomes, when she conceives, they translate it as, but based upon the word zera, seed, I guess you would say when she becomes seeded, when she does seed, when she seeds a child, v'yolda zocha, and she gives birth to a boy. And then the parasha goes on, v'tomi shivas yomim, she's tomi for 7 days, etc., etc. And at the end of the period of the purification, the contamination and purification, the end of the entire period, she then brings a sacrifice. And the sacrifice which she brings is in verse 6. It says she brings Melos Yemei Tahara, when she completes her days of purification, Leban or Lebas, for either a boy or a girl that's born. A boy or a girl. Tovi Keves Ben Shanoso. She brings, as a sacrifice, she brings a sheep within its first year. A sheep within its first year. Uben Yona Osor Lachatas. Or, and as well as that, a dove or a turtle dove for a sin offering. A dove or a turtle dove for a sin offering. El Pesach, El Moed, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, to the Kohen. So I'm going to zoom in on this law over here about a dove or a turtle dove. That's one of the sacrifices. She brings a dove or a turtle dove as a sin offering. Don't ask me the difference between a dove and a turtle dove. I've never known the difference between the two of them. I think they are different. Obviously, they are different, but I don't know what they. I don't know what they, how they look different. But anyway, but one is called a sor, and the other one is called a yona.
Yona,
right? And yona is a full, more familiar term. That's a dove, and then the other one is a turtle dove. But the sequence of the pasuk describes this obligation of bringing this sacrifice. As either a dove or a turtle dove. It's one or the other, whatever you have, a dove or a turtle dove. That sequence is very significant, says the Balei Torah, one of the famous commentators on the Chumash, because he says, Ben Yona Osor, either a dove or a turtle dove. And he writes as follows, B'kol Mokam, everywhere else in the Torah, Magdim Torim Lebnei Yona Chutz Mekan, everywhere else in the Torah puts first turtle doves before doves. Turtle doves before doves, except for over here. This is the only place in the Torah. Whenever there's a halacha, whenever there's a requirement to have doves and turtle doves, the Torah always puts the turtle dove before the dove, not the other way around. This is the only place in the Torah where it puts the turtle that mentions the dove before the turtle dove. What's the significance? He says, "Lefisha'ena mevi ela echad," because here the halacha is that there's only one of them, one is brought. In all other places when doves and turtles are doves abroad as sacrifices, they always come as pairs. They're always brought as pairs. Here, only one of the two birds is brought, either a dove or a turtle dove, one of the two. Lefisha ben, so the reason why the dove is put first before the turtle dove, he says, Lefisha ben zugo, misabel olav, mourns for it, Ve'inim is davig la'achen, is not going to mate with another turtle dove afterwards. One of the phenomena of these birds is that if the turtle dove is brought as a sacrifice and it's the only one not brought as pairs, so then the partner of this turtle dove, which was brought as a sacrifice, is going to mourn forever. Wow. Its loss, and will never get married again. We'll never find another partner whatsoever. And therefore, in order to save the, so to speak, to save the pain of the partner who's losing its spouse. So therefore, the Torah says, preferably in this case over here, this is the one exception, in this case over here, better to bring a dove than a turtle dove, because the dove does not have the same characteristic. So, and this is only true over here, in this case over here. Normally, turtle doves are mentioned first before doves, for some reason. I don't know what the reason is for that. But normally, turtle doves are mentioned first before the dove. But over here, since it's being brought as a single unit without its partner, then the turtle dove's partner is going to mourn and never remate with another turtle dove afterwards. And therefore, it's better to first bring the dove before the turtle dove. So that's what the Balei Torah writes over here. That's why the dove is mentioned first as a preference. So this is the Balaturim's insight. This is his insight, his explanation as to why the turtle dove is mentioned second to the dove, and that's it. So over here in the Sefer, which I have over here, Rav Simcha Zisel Broyd, he says, we learn from this two very, very important principles. We learn principle number one, sensitivity to animals. Mm. That's number one. Sensitivity to the animal, to that, you know, partner of the turtle dove that would be losing its mate. And the other sense, the other lesson we learn from this is the message and the lesson of loyalty. The lesson of loyalty, you see that the Torah is almost like rewarding the turtle dove. It's rewarding the because of its loyalty in that relationship, it's being rewarded of not being put into that same situation, the situation where it's going to lose its partner. So it's teaching us the message of loyalty. So it's a beautiful message, yeah. Two very, very important messages over here. The lesson of loyalty, the lesson of loyalty, and the lesson of sensitivity, and even sensitivity to animals as well. And this really goes into the general theme of the Torah. It goes into the general theme. We know that the general theme of the Torah and the mitzvahs in general, it's all about teaching us the way of life, the ethics and morality. And there are psukim, there are verses, there are Maamari Chazal, there are different statements which underscore the idea of that the Torah is here to teach us the way of life and to go in the right way, go in the way of yashrus, the straightness and morality and virtue and ethics, etc. And also the very famous Gemara, it says that the mitzvahs were given, the tzarefes abrios, to refine humanity, to refine ourselves, to refine human behavior. So every mitzvah has a particular address and teaches us how to improve ourselves and to refine our behavior and to become more virtuous, moral people. The tzarefes abrios. And every parasha, every parasha is filled with all these different messages over here. So when I saw this, yeah, I liked it. It was inspiring. It was teaching us the concept of loyalty. Loyalty is that when people are there for you, you should be there for them. That's what loyalty is. You know, it's interesting because loyalty, I think, really depends upon two people. It depends upon the other person. That as long when another person is not there for you, so you don't really have such the same kind of mandate and directive to be there for them. But whenever people put themselves out for others, then loyalty demands that I'm there for you as well. I'm putting out for you, you put out for me. That's how it goes. It's a reciprocal kind of relationship. And it's so important. It's so important. This is these are the bedrock principles of life and human behavior and interactions and civil behavior. So when I was thinking about this morning, I saw this, it was very nice. You know, it always reminds me of this question. Is that all there is to the mitzvahs? Is that it? Is that it? Is that the sum total of the mitzvahs? Is that the sum total of Judaism, that it's about improving ourselves and refining ourselves and elevating ourselves? Now you'd say, yeah, of course, that's what it's all about. That's what Yiddishkeit's all about. The mitzvahs are all about the tzarefes abrios, to refine our behavior, to improve ourselves. But is that all it's about? Because really, if the perspective of the mitzvahs and Judaism and Torah is to improve our behavior and to refine ourselves, it really begs the question, then, why is it so important and so necessary to be so particular with all the mitzvahs, especially the ritualistic mitzvahs? Because if it's all about becoming a better person, a better spouse, a better friend, a better parent, a better child, a better employee, a better person in society, then is it so necessary to be so particular and so exacting with all the halachas, with all, you know, particularly kashrus, Shabbos, brachas, and all the different ritualistic mitzvahs? Even if they teach you and they teach us different ways of character refinement, but is it so necessary to be so particular? Is it so necessary to be so particular? What's the target of the mitzvahs in general? So this reminded me of the very famous sefer over here, Shari Kedusha. And Shari Kedusha was written by Rav Chaim Vital, one of the great Kabbalists from Tzfas. And when I was thinking about this morning, about these different points, it reminded me, I just remembered that I wanted to take a look at this once again. And it really is a magnificent, magnificent exposition of the relationship of different mitzvahs and the role of different mitzvahs. And in a certain sense, what's the difference between becoming an ethical person and being a holy person? There's ethics and there's kedusha, there's ethics and being holy. I have to share with you that I first found this sefer. I've told this story before, but probably a lot of people have forgotten, but I first encountered this sefer when I was eating breakfast at Ellie's Bagels in Muncie. If this goes on to Torah Anytime, this is going to be a big advertisement for Ellie's Bagels in Muncie, right? So, he should give me a commission now, give me a free bagel. So, this goes back over 15 years ago. It's a nice place. It's a good place. You know, it's a good, so I was sitting there eating breakfast at Ellie's Bagels, and and then on the side, in the bagel shop, there were different books and different magazines. And he has Sfarim there. They have Sfarim there on the side, on the window shelf. So when you're eating your bagels, you can read a sefer. Mm-hmm. So on the shelf there was this sefer, not this particular one. I bought my own one. this sefer, Shari Kedusha by Rav Chaim Vital. And I'd never seen it before. I'd heard the name and never looked at it. So I opened it up and I was reading this chapter. I was so taken by it. I was so just taken by it. In fact, actually, this was the sefer, this particular perek over here, was the perek that inspired me to actually start going into learning more about, actually began with life coaching and then therapy as well. That was the beginning of my, entree into the world of life coaching and marriage and family therapy. It was all because of this over here, because I'm going to share with you. So this goes back many years, and it's a magnificent exposition of just the relationship of mitzvahs and the understanding of mitzvahs and the understanding of really the difference between mitzvahs which are helping us to refine ourselves and mitzvahs which go well beyond that. So he starts off by saying as a basis, and that is to understand the basics of everything, and that is our body and the way we look right now, the way we are right now, is not the essence of who we are. This is not who we are. This is purely a levush. He says the guf ha'adam enenu adam atzmo mitzad guf. The body of the person is not himself. It's not me. Because they're nikra b'sar ha'adam. This is just the flesh. It's the flesh. Or abosat al bishene. Thus says that skin and flesh he clothed me with. Al b'sar adam le'yisach ha'adam ha'panimius. The person who we are. The adam is the panimius. Is the inner. The inner energy, the inner spirit of the person, that's who we really are. This body is purely a levush. It's a levush, it's a garment. It's labish by nefesh asichlis, which covers the spiritual soul of the person. Ba'odo ba'olam hazeh, only in this world. The body is only here in this world. Meaning to say that I are forever. We're forever, but temporarily we have this physical body upon us. So that when the body demises, when the body ends, you continue on. We continue on. Our essence, our soul continues on. Acha patira, after a person passes away, yufshat ma'olav levush azeh, this garment sheds away. V'yislabish b'levush zach v'noki ruchani, and then we become then garbed with a new kind of garment, a very, very spiritual, which is called in Kabbalah, it's called chalukah d'rabbanan. It's a whole new luster and dimension of covering that the soul has in the next world. But that's a different discussion, what happens in the next world. But certainly we go on. But the body, the flesh, the bones, the skin, it ends, goes back to the ground. Mm-hmm. But we continue on. We continue on. I continue on. We all continue on. He says also, it's interesting, that the structure of our bodies, traditionally we say that there are 248 organs and 365 connective tissues, sinews, but the physical structure is designed based upon the spiritual structure of the soul. That there are 613 dimensions to the soul. So the body is modeled after the 613 dimensions of the soul. And then he says, interestingly, that the first thing which was created was the body. So this body, which is really modeled, the structure of the body, which is modeled after the soul, was first created, and then the soul was then inserted into it afterwards. But the essence is the soul. That's the essence. Nimtza ki ha'adam ba'atzma enenu ki im nefesh ha'sichlis. The person, the human being, is the nefesh sichlis, is the spiritual soul, which is garbed, which is clothed inside the body, which is called the levush, which is called the garment in this world. So that's the general picture. And that's how it was, and that's how Adam HaRishon was created. But we know with the sin of Adam HaRishon, the sin of the eating from the tree of knowledge, So then Ra was introduced into the world in a much more intensive way. Evil, negativity, occlusion, pollution, spiritual pollution, spiritual impurity, all these different facets of, so to speak, evil was introduced into the world in a much more tangible fashion, which then impacted every aspect of life. Every aspect of life became affected by the infusion of Ra, of evil in the world as a result of eating from the tree of knowledge. And because every aspect of life was affected, even the soul of man was affected as well. And this is where he then goes into talking about two levels of a soul. Now, we speak about different levels of the soul. There are different formulations of the different levels of the soul. The more typically known formulation of the levels of the soul are the nefesh, the ruach, neshama, chayin, yechida. That's one one formulation of the levels of the soul. Here he talks more just generally about essentially a physical body, a very, very sublime spiritual soul, and then an intermediate soul. So whatever that maps to in that schema of five levels of the soul is not for right now. But the middle level of the soul is a lower level of the soul. It's a lower level of the soul. And he describes this as also as being affected by different types of injuries, both spiritual and physical injuries. And the injuries which the lower level of the soul can be subject to when the lower level of the soul is given power, when we give more power, which is really akin to the Yetzirah, which is where the Yetzirah comes from. But when it's given more, when we allow the lower level of the soul to overpower the high level of the soul, it can be subject to different types of injury. And he says the four avos nezikin, the four primary categories of damage, injury, which is described in Tractate Bava Kamma, and also the four primary categories of tsaras, affliction, which is mentioned in this week's parasha. When we give more fortification and more power to the lower level of our soul, then the result is injury and damage and impurity in the form of four categories of damage, in the form of the four categories of tsaras, of leprosy, affliction. But the point is this, there are two levels of the soul. There's the higher soul and the lower soul. That's what we want to get to. That's the main target over here. He continues on to talk about what is the nourishment for these two levels of the soul. What is the way to rectify and to elevate and to refine these two levels of the soul? The high level of the soul, it's easy, the Taryag mitzvahs, right? The mitzvahs, all of the 613 mitzvahs, they are designed to elevate the higher level of the soul. Mm. The most sublime spiritual part of ourselves is energized by the mitzvahs. They're energized by the mitzvahs. The lower level of the soul, he writes, what nourishes the lower level of the soul is good midos, is good character traits. Good character, being a mensch, having loyalty, having sensitivity to animals, being kind, and all of the traits and all of the things which we do to become a mensch and to become a decent person, which is what I began talking about at the beginning, those are the things which nourish the lower level of the soul. They nourish the lower level of the soul. The higher level of the soul, the nourishment for the higher level of the soul, the real essence of who we are, the eternal essence of who we are, needs mitzvahs to be alive. They need mitzvahs to be alive. And he writes that this lower level of the soul, he says, nefesh hazeh, this lower level of the soul, are dependent upon midos, good character traits, hatovas, varos. It's dependent upon the traits, whether good or bad, but we should inculcate the good traits. Ve'enkisei v'yosov v'shorash al nefesh al yonah. The lower level of the soul is the throne or the seat and the foundation and the root for the upper level of the soul, the spiritual, high, sublime level of the soul, Shabbat Tuluin, which it itself is dependent upon the 613 mitzvahs. Lefikach, therefore, eina midos meklal tarik mitzvahs. That's why midos, good character traits, are not included in the 613 commandments. Omnum, however, heina hachonos ikorios. However, they are fundamental preparatory devices towards those 613 mitzvahs, b'kiyumun or b'kiptun, whether fulfilling them or not fulfilling them. They serve as a gateway and the stepping stone, and they are foundational. And that's also a little bit of a reason why a significance of the days we're in right now between Pesach and Shavuos. It says that, you know, we're working on ourselves. Some people learn Pirkei Avos in this time period. Others are doing the Sefiros, the different traits of the Sefiros. But they all are under the same rubric of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The Derech Eretz is another word for good midos. Having good midos, having good character traits, and the way of behaving well in society are the foundation of the Torah. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. In order to be able to access Torah, we need to have the Derech Eretz, the midos, as a prerequisite. But they are not necessarily mitzvahs per se. They are not the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the nourishment for the soul. But the midos are the nourishment for the lower soul. And he says, "Ubezeh tovin." Through this, we can understand different Maimari Chazal, different statements of the rabbis. It says, with regard to midos, for example, he says, "Ki anovas v'shiflus," because anova, humility, brings a person to Ruach HaKodesh, to the Holy Spirit. V'shor olav shechina, the shechina, the divine presence, rests upon a person. So they are the segue towards experiencing tremendously elevated states of kedusha and sanctity. But they are not the source of the sanctity. They are the stepping stone. In other words, for the person, for the higher soul, to be able to receive all the light which from the mitzvahs, it needs first as a foundation a healthy lower soul. It's a little bit like having a healthy body. What the relationship of the body to the, you know, personality, if the person is not feeling healthy, not feeling well, so they can't be a mensch as effectively. You know, you're feeling, you know, grumpy and annoyed and irritated because you're lacking of sleep. The health of the body facilitates the health of the character as well. But the health of the character facilitates the health of the higher soul through the mitzvahs. Ezu ben olam haba, who is considered a person who has a ticket into the next world? Kolshu shafal beruf anavasan, someone who is a humble person. But again, it's not because the humility is the essential energy of the world to come. It's the energy to prepare ourselves to prepare the higher soul to be able to then be affected by the mitzvahs which it's doing. Because this is not a prescription to say it's okay just to do midos. It's okay just to be a mensch. It's okay just to be kind and loyal and sensitive, etc., etc. The neshama, for that eternity, the neshama needs all the mitzvahs. And it needs those mitzvahs to have its eternity inside the next world. But what are the midos? A very, very important part of this is he discusses what the midos are. What are the primary midos on this lower level? What are the primary midos on this lower level? Everything here goes back to the formula of four, right? There are four injuries. There are four afflictions in the parashas this week. There are four letters of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Everything, the whole of reality emanated from the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, four letters of his name. And there's also another very famous thing, the four foundations of the physical world, of fire, water, air, and earth. And that's also part of Jewish tradition as well. So he says, but he says that the foundation and the primary midos, which help us on our lower level to improve our lower level of the soul, what are they? They all come from these four elements. The element of fire. The element of fire is the origin of gaiva, of arrogance. Of arrogance and anger and particularity and also bakoshas, anger, particularity, bakoshas asrara, looking to have rulership and honor and priding oneself over other people, enmity towards other people. This is all the root of gaiva coming from the element of fire. The element of air is sicha betela, he writes. Sicha betela is frivolous conversation. Frivolous, there's nonsense, like, you know, shooting the breeze with conversation, just schmoozing. What's the purpose of the conversation? Nothing much, we're just schmoozing, we're just talking. But then also that leads to flattery, to false statements, to lying as well, to lashon hara. And then, the third one is water. Yesoda Maim, the foundation of water, which is taiva, which is physicality, the taiva of tainugim, of delights, of physical delights, and chemda, the passion to take from other people in order to enjoy it yourself, and also jealousy as well, is also part of this element of water. And the fourth one is afar. The fourth element is earth. And the midah of that is atzvas, is sadness. Sadness and atzla, which are the result of that, which results in laziness as well. Ha'atzlus l'kamtra, laziness to fulfill the Torah because of one's apathy and sadness and negative spirit. Ve'na semer b'chalka is not happy with what he has. B'shumdav with anything. Gamenu lo tispa. Osha doesn't appreciate all the wealth he does have. He doesn't appreciate. But these are the midos. These are the summary and the summary of all of the midos put together. The four primary midos. But again, they are all for the lower soul. They're all stepping stones for the higher soul. Right? The mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kashrus and Brochas and Shatnez and I've only counted four so far, but there's hundreds more to go. But all the mitzvahs, they're not the target of the, in as much as many meforshim, many commentaries, very, very prestigious commentaries all talk about the symbolic, ethical, moral messages of all of the mitzvahs because they have messages for moral living as well. But it's so, so important that the real essential energy of the mitzvahs is not about, it's not only about making us into a better person in this world. The real purpose of the mitzvahs is to energize and to lift up the neshama, the inner soul of the person. And only when we believe in the eternity of the soul does this all make sense. You understand? Because if there's no such thing as an eternity of the soul, if there's no such thing as life continuing on beyond the death, the demise of the body, so then really this whole subject is really a moot point because why do I have to become holy? As long as we behave nice ethically and morally and we maintain shalom and peace within society, so then we'll have a better life in this world. So that's but this notion of holiness, kedusha, holiness and elevation of the soul, like what does that have to do with making my life into a better, it can be a kind person, I can be a loyal person, I can be a helpful person, peaceful, and all these great things, wonderful things. I don't need to spend my life trying to become holy. Like what does that have to do with anything? Holiness is the neshama. Holiness is for the neshama. Holiness is for the eternity of the neshama. And when a person has the foundation of that lower level refinement, then all of a sudden, then the high level of the soul is able to enjoy and appreciate and absorb all of the kedusha of the mitzvahs, as he says. This is how he concludes the section over here. He says, "Biyos midas harayos kavus ba'adam." When if a person has negative midos inside of him, if a person has not refined their character, the lower level, if they haven't refined their character, nimnu melekayim Torah mitzvahs, he becomes prevented from fulfilling the Torah and mitzvahs. And even if he fulfills Torah mitzvahs, he doesn't do it altruistically, and he finds them to be a burden. The point is if the more refined we are, the more embracing we are. I'll say it very simply. The more refined of a character we are, the more embracing we are of rules. When we're selfish, I don't want to be told what to do. So I'm not going to do a mitzvah. I'm not going to do some kind of ritualistic mitzvah because, you're telling me it's making me into a better person. And the more selfish, the more preoccupied with myself and the more pursuing I am of my desires, why would I go ahead and adjust my schedule and change my lifestyle around in order to do these things, which are really only ultimately for some kind of spiritual benefit? The character of the person needs to be there in order to be able to embrace the mitzvahs. And he says further, when a person does not have, has not perfected and refined those other elements of arrogance and all the other ones, which as I mentioned before, and sadness, etc., mitzvahs become a big burden to a person. And he quotes over here, the Pasuk of Mishlei, Nezim zoho ba'af chazir, like a golden ring in the nose of a pig. That's a Pasuk, right? A golden ring. What is that referring to? The beautiful golden mitzvah in the nose of a pig because he doesn't appreciate it. It's a torah to him. He describes it being a burden to me. It's a burden because it's affecting my freedom. It's affecting my what I want to do. But if a person zoch, if a person merits, and he merits to refine his character, then nasis lo terosa samchaim. Then the Torah becomes a potion of life, a medicine of life, a remedy of life. Lo zocha, but if he doesn't merit it, then the Torah and the mitzvahs become a potion of death. It's a burden. It's negative. It has no pleasure to it. And he writes as follows, Kashi is gabba al yitzra v'yilachim bo. When a person overcomes his yitzah and he battles with it, v'yosim ma'olav midosav, and he takes away his negative midos, takes away those negative character traits through effort, and he fulfills the mitzvah, and now he fulfills Torah mitzvahs, yikari tzadik gomor. He's called a tzadik gomor. Now he's called a complete tzadik. Yerushamayim, a God-fearing person, gibor kovesh etz yitzro, a mighty person who has domination over his baser impulses. And then further, kasha yisnaig v'yirgol, when he accustoms himself even more so, adashe yusru ma'olav kol midas arois, until all of these negative traits, these negative characteristics are away from him completely. V'lo tesavolem nashen, he doesn't have any desire for all these negative character traits, and he acquires good midos as a second nature to himself, then his body, Kiguf of Nashi Yasoda, now his body is really free of all of this impurity. Like it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Hashem said to Moshe, Shal na'alechem mi'al reglecha, take the shoe off your feet, when he was standing by the bush. That was symbolic of a complete divestiture of the physical body with all of its desires and all of its accompanying traits. Oz till Islab Shuba Rabbi Osius, then you become clothed in the four letters of Hashem's name, the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Via Kisei Kodesh, you become a holy chariot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehi ish nikra oev esabakam, this person is called someone who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of love. V'nikra chosid gomer, is called a absolute pious person, hasholem, complete, because mina shlema is complete in all aspects of perfection. That's when a person has refined the character, and now all of a sudden the Torah and the mitzvahs just become so alive and so empowering and so invigorating and so illuminating and so spiritualizing in the person. Again, we shouldn't say from this that it's more important, God forbid, to only work on the character. We still need to do the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are still obligatory. But he's giving us an insight into the mechanism, the dynamics of how the mitzvahs work and how mitzvahs work with respect to midos and character traits. And therefore, what we're saying, we're learning from this, is that as much as good character traits are the foundation, but they're only a stepping stone to the spirituality and the kedusha that the mitzvahs in general provide for us. And that spirituality and the Kedusha, which it provides for us, not only in this world, but primarily in the world to come as well. And therefore, that's really a message over here. I was thinking as a mnemonic, a way to remember this, is we have Tazria, followed by Achrei Mos, Tazria, but sort of double portion. And then next week's portion is Achrei Mos and Kedusha. So we have Tazria, Mitzvah, which is all about saras and about leprosy, which I didn't mention this, but one of the biggest themes about leprosy, about saras, and the reason why saras comes is because of negative traits. Mm-hmm. That's a big theme of the portion. Chazal say that the reasons why people used to get saras is because of lashon hara and hatred and arrogance, all these different bad midos. Mm-hmm. They were the causation of the tzara. So certainly the Tazria Mitzvah are two portions which underscore and illustrate the importance of good midos, so that acharei mos, which means after the death, so that after our demise, we will be kedoshim, holy. Mm. This parasha is the segue and the stepping stone, so that after our demise, as long as we have mitzvahs along the way, right? There's got to be mitzvahs, all the tiring mitzvahs, but it's the midos and the character refinement is a stepping stone, ultimately for the ultimate kedusha, which is acharei mos, which is after the person's passing away. Huh. So may we be zocha to improve ourselves and to refine ourselves and to improve ourselves and to elevate ourselves, both in our character refinement, but also in our performance of mitzvahs as well. And so that we become truly holy people in a way which lasts with us and goes with us, because that's where it's all really at. It's not about this world over here. Yeah. It's the world to come.